Would you turn in your Bible to John, the 20th chapter? We're going to be reading the Easter story according to John. I'll begin with verse 1. As I'm reading, would you listen for the Word of God? Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other clothes, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside, and he saw and believed. They didn't yet understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb, crying. As she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Christ had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. The angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she replied, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me, for I haven't yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And then she told them what he said to her. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, by your word and your spirit, please give us a sense of the presence of the living Christ, the one who is alive forevermore. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day, he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
What do you believe?
Morning, I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that we can worship together on this Easter morning. If you look in your bulletin, you'll see a GPS. That's new every week. And imagine if you made a decision on this Easter, from this Easter to next Easter, I'm going to read that GPS, and I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to turn every day over to the Lord. One scripture a day, one prayer a day, one quiet time a day for the next year. Imagine the transforming effect that that would have, not on just that day, but on the year that you're going to face. I hope that you've taken up this challenge. Every person here has been challenged to have a daily quiet time. We're wrapping up our sermon series, Creed, and I'm going to be sorry to see that video go. I've enjoyed this conversation that's taken place in the Lenten Food and Fellowship groups. I think for many of us, if somebody asked us what it is that we believe as the followers of Christ in the past, we would have kind of stumbled our way through that. And for many of us, we think now, well, I'd probably tell them the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. It's a fitting way to end the sermon series on this Easter morn. Now, when I say the resurrection of the body, I think most of us immediately think of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that's true, but we're told in the scriptures that the resurrection of Christ is the first fruits. More fruit to follow, more resurrections to follow. Whose resurrection? Yours. I say, well, I know that my spirit's going to heaven after I die when I trust in Christ. It's not just your spirit. That's only part of the story. We believe that there will be a bodily resurrection that will take place for each believer, each follower of Christ. I'll come back to this in a moment, but in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 44, it says, it's a physical body that you have when it's put in the ground, but it's raised as a spiritual body. If there's a physical body, there's also a spiritual body. What in the world does that mean? Well, to get a better handle on what's being talked about in the text and in the Bible, the promise that's being made to us on Easter morn, to look at the story of Easter as I just read it, we're told that Mary Magdalene and another one of the Gospels, two other women, went with together to the tomb of Jesus early on Sunday morning, the first opportunity that they had to go tend to the body of Christ after they had hastily placed it into the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea on Friday night. Where are the male disciples? They're hiding in Jerusalem in a locked room because they're so afraid that the Sanhedrin is going to arrest them and bring them before Pilate, and they're going to die a horrible death the way Jesus died. But the women who were risking the same thing loved Christ enough to go out to the tomb early in the morning. Two of the women left after looking and seeing that the body wasn't there, leaving Mary Magdalene. We're told that Peter and John also went out, saw that the body had been removed, and they went back to tell others. That left Mary there by herself. In the text that I just read to you, there's this strange moment where she's crying, and then she answers the angels, and she says, they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him. As soon as she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Now, this is a woman that had known Jesus for years, seen him every day, was standing at the foot of the cross when he died, helped put his body into the tomb, and she didn't know it was Jesus? Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And then she turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Then she recognized Jesus. After this scene, Jesus leaves that place and he finds two followers that are leaving Jerusalem and they're going to a community of Emmaus outside of Jerusalem. They are very disappointed. They've placed their trust in Christ. They feel like everything has ended in disaster. And they meet the stranger on the road. They don't recognize him. It's Jesus. Seeing a common thread here? They walk together and talk. When they get to the outskirts of Emmaus, the stranger says he's going to keep going, but they say, "No, come and eat with us." So they go to the little inn in Emmaus, and as they sit down, the stranger breaks bread. Sounds like communion, doesn't it? And immediately they recognize it's Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, sitting with them, and then he's gone. Where does he go? We're told the next place that Jesus shows up, remember I told you the apostles are in a locked room, the upper room we believed, behind a locked door, and all of a sudden the resurrected Christ appears in that room. And they're afraid it's a ghost because the door was locked. But he says, "Peace be with you." And then he allows them to touch him where the spear had been placed in the side. They can see the nail holes on his feet and on his hands. And they offer him a piece of fish and he eats it. So he has this physical body that they can touch, but it's also a body that can go through a door. For the next 40 days, Jesus continues to meet to people to the point where Paul says there's over 500 people in Jerusalem that have met the resurrected Christ. And then they go to the top of a mountain, and while they're standing there, and it says in that text, many of those that were standing there didn't recognize Jesus. Others did. He ascends into heaven. Salvador Dali gave a portrait of this. Now, is there a body of Jesus floating around in space someplace? Right? Now, if I explain how many dimensions are we aware of as human beings, I'd say three dimensions we can see, a fourth dimension of time. I was reading this past week, you can Google this, scientists believe there are 10 dimensions right now, 10 dimensions, so that leaves seven of them that we can't see. What we're being told in the Easter story is that in the resurrection of Christ, we see what's going to happen to us when we believe and trust in Christ. So what is it that we believe that happens to a believer in Christ after they die? Well, we're told that immediately we go to be with the Lord or not with the Lord. We're either in the presence of God and the presence of where his power and his blessings are, or we're not, and it's based on our choice. Christ said, "I'm drawing all people unto me." Everyone is given this opportunity equally. It's up to us as the followers of Christ on whether we're going to accept or reject this invitation to trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. I can't speak about Muslims. I can't speak about Buddhists. I'm not a spiritual leader in those groups. This is what Christians believe about people who are presented Christ. And it's up to us on whether we accept or deny this invitation to follow him. And that's the end of the story, right? No. What's really interesting in the New Testament is that 29 times we're told that when somebody is obviously dead, Jesus would say, they're just sleeping. Look at this text in Mark, the 5th chapter. This is Jairus' daughter. Jesus went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead. The child's asleep. Jesus said the same thing about Lazarus. The same thing was said about the Stephen martyr. They had watched the man be beaten to death in a stoning. They dragged off the obviously dead body, and yet we're told he's just asleep. Now we're told that the spirit immediately goes to its eternal destination, either to heaven or to hell. But we're told the body rests, it sleeps, until when? Until the last trumpet call, until the final judgment of Christ, when we're told the dead will be raised. What about people that got eaten by a shark? What about people who have got burned up in a fire? We're not talking about a body like our body, although in the resurrection of Christ, it's an identifiable body. It's a touchable body, but it's also a body that can go from Emmaus to Jerusalem immediately, can be recognized and not recognized in an instant, and can be raised up in front of you. Obviously, we're talking about dimensions that we're not experiencing right now. And what I love about the Christian scriptures is they're authentic enough to say, this doesn't make any sense at all. This is just what we experienced. When you look at other religious scripture, typically there's the responsibility to make sense. But in the Christian scriptures, which often makes sense, there's also things like we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. They said that's what we experienced. In the same way, they're saying what we experienced is the resurrection of the body, and we've been promised that we will experience the same resurrection. I have some texts for you to look at in John, the 5th chapter, verses 28 and 29. Don't be surprised by this. When the time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice, those who did good things will come into the resurrection of life, and those who did wicked things into the resurrection of judgment. How about 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. The next text, this is a longer one, but it's a remarkable passage. It's out of 1 Corinthians. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the imperishable must clothe itself in the imperishable, the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that the same resurrection that Christ experienced has been promised to us as the followers of Christ. Do I have to understand all this to experience all this? No, I've been studying this all week, really for my professional life, and I still don't understand all of it. I have a sense of what's being promised to us. Rather, we should just find confidence and hope in what is being promised to us and what we understand. Remember hearing the story of one of these old country doctors who even into the 20th century was still visiting people just out of habit out in the country. And he was called to an old farmer that was dying, and he went to the house, drove out there with his dog, left the dog outside, went in, tended the farmer. The farmer, after hearing that he was dying, said, "What's it going to be like after I die?" And the doctor said, "We don't really know. We don't fully understand. But," he said, "I think it's going to be something like this. You hear my dog scratching outside on the door?" He said, "The dog wants to get in here because he knows that his master's in here." In the same way, we as the followers of Christ, we just want to be where our master is, where the grace and mercy of God can be found, where the power and the blessings of God will be residing. And in Christ, we are given that promise. Here's the text. It's John. Promise. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? The death and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ is the exclamation mark on everything that Christ taught, promised, the miracles that he performed, the authority that he exhibited, the lordship that he offers to us as Savior, and his ability to defeat death and offer us eternal life. This is the message of Easter. Amen.